and welcome to EG's Voice of the Region with me, Jim Larkin, where we continue on our voyage of discovery around the UK's commercial property market under the guidance of regional agents commanding attention through their performances in the Radius On Demand rankings. And there are few regional agents who command more attention on Radius than Carter Towler, which stands over the Leeds and broader West Yorkshire market like a deals colossus. In the last 12 months, for example, it's transacted more than 1 million square feet of lettings and occupational sales across 178 deals in the county, which is no mean feat given trading conditions aren't exactly ideal for anyone right now. So to do these numbers justice, I'm very pleased to be joined by not one but two agents, so we can look at both the industrial and office sectors in detail. First up is Associate Director Hazel Cooper, who specialises in industrial, and we also have Agency Surveyor James Jackson, who finished last year as the top deal maker across the entire UK office market. I want to know what's driving these numbers, and more importantly, what the future looks like for Leeds and the wider region. Okay, Hazel and James, welcome aboard. How are you both?
Great, thank you.
Good stuff. Okay, now, first up, and it'll be interesting, I guess, to see the differences in the answers you give to this. How would you describe the USP of Leeds and the broader West Yorkshire region for your respective markets? By which I mean, you know, why would occupiers choose it ahead of some of the other great northern cities like Manchester or Sheffield or Liverpool, etc.?
Well, I think it's a compact, sort of lively city centre, really, with the interest definitely for offices centering around the sort of train station, really. And it's that, I guess, with conjunction in conjunction with the exciting development that's already happened, and also is due to happen with schemes like Air Park and 8 and 9 Wellington Place. So I think those two things in combination really make it quite an exciting city to live in, definitely.
Yeah, so in addition to that, I mean, I'm lucky enough to live and work in Leeds city centre. It's got a great restaurant and bar scene, which we all know. We've obviously got the universities here as well. But from a sort of industrial occupied perspective, and I'm sure the trends flow on the office front, I think ultimately the rent's cheaper in West Yorkshire in comparison to the Northwest market. We've got an excellent sort of work pool in West Yorkshire. There's 2.3 million population and 1.4 million in South Yorkshire. And that compared to the Greater Manchester region at 2.8. So, from the industrial perspective, I think it's important to mention the connectivity to the whole country. It's very easy to go from east to west along the M62 corridor and north to south as well, obviously M1, A1. So ultimately, yeah. it's a great location. I think personally and professionally, we both love the region.
Yeah, it's great, obviously, as I say, to live here, and then also, you know, being able to attract occupiers. Like, I guess, Channel 4 and more recently, Lloyd's taking so much space at Wellington Place. Shows what a good proposition it is for, you know, businesses and people living here as well.
Good stuff. Okay. What's the overall sentiment like in your markets at the moment? Because, I mean, obviously we've had COVID and then since then we've had some pretty tough economic times, but are things fairly buoyant?
So the industrial market has been, as you probably know, really resilient throughout COVID, and we've had sort of the best years in terms of take up. At the moment, the big box market is generally quite steady. There's a surplus of big boxes in South Yorkshire at the moment, which that coupled with slow decision making, which we're finding occupiers are taking time to give the green light, feels like it is a little bit sluggish. But that being said, the mid box and the small market is generally really active, and West Yorkshire generally is suffering from a lack of stock. So you're sort of chasing your tail a bit in terms of the supply versus demand dynamic.
Yeah. And office wise, I mean, there is still uncertainty in the market. But, you know, city centre last year, we had a decent year, really. We were slightly above the 10-year take-up. And we've had a good start this year as well. Just had the Q1 take-up figures come through. And they look pretty good. So city centre hopefully have a better year than last year and just sort of continue on that path, really. And then out of town is the one, really, which it would be really nice to see pick up again as it sort of did immediately after COVID. So that's the sort of one thing that I'm hoping for this year, the out of town market to pick up again.
Sure. Okay. Could I ask you both to kind of just talk us through what have been the most significant deals you've done so far in 2024? Not necessarily the biggest, but just kind of the ones that gave you the most encouragement that the market's heading in the right direction.
Most recently, in 2024, I should say, a letting at a place called Graphical House was really encouraging. Just basically happened really, really quickly after we put the floor on the market. And since that, we've had another couple of good lettings there as well. So that gave me some really good encouragement sort of at the start of this year, really. And then on top of that, we've had 16 or 17 others that have completed, which has been a good start to the year, really, for us.
So you've kind of got that churn going quite nicely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I completed a letting on Friday, actually, which it's certainly not the largest completion of the year, but it felt like an achievement and a real positive result for both the landlord and the tenant. It was a 20,000 square foot, relatively modern, refurbished warehouse building in Birstall. And the occupier whose sort of head office is in Beverley had been looking along the M62 corridor to improve their distribution network for 6 to 9 months. And we've been talking to them for that amount of time and obviously trying to locate a building for them. And I think this one stands out because it's just a prime example of how difficult it is for occupiers in finding a suitable building. And I know I've said it probably a couple of times already, but it does really draw down to that limited availability in strategic locations. But it was a great result. The letting completed on Friday. There was HGVs queued up outside the building, ready to go in on Friday lunchtime. So fantastic result all round.
Cool, good stuff. Okay. Which would you say are the sectors or subsectors within your markets where you are kind of anticipating the most growth this year?
I think we're more likely to see, perhaps not just this year, but the years to come, manufacturing being brought back to the UK. I think the global uncertainty and concerns over sort of us relying on other countries will mean that businesses based in the UK will want to regain that control, meaning bringing the manufacturing back to home ground.
And I can see at some point offices, just because of the yield profiles really for prime offices in Leeds, I can see that definitely being targeted by investors at some stage, just because of the potential for return base, particularly with rents still increasing in the city centre. That's something that I can see happening at some point. Don't obviously know exactly when that is going to happen, but at some point soon, hopefully.
Good stuff. Okay. Hazel, if I could turn specifically to you and do some industrial talk. I've literally just run the under my rankings for industrial disposals in West Yorkshire for the past 12 months. And Carter Towler is absolutely miles out in front. It's 784,833.7 square feet across 67 deals. How have you managed to pull so clear from the rest of the market?
So I think our key focus in the industrial team is that we're very much focused on our local specialism. We deal with West Yorkshire, and we do touch on North and we do touch on South Yorkshire, but we very rarely sort of work off our patch. And I think that's key for our clients to know that they're in capable, trustworthy hands. And as a team, we all work really hard to deliver successful results for our clients, which is obviously reflected by the number of transactions that we've completed.
Sure. Okay. Now, a couple of years ago, it felt as though logistics was pretty much the only game in town. But when did that start to change? And kind of what size range are you seeing the most activity in?
I think it's difficult to say when that started to change. Ultimately, logistics is a key part of the industry. And if you look at the UK statistics, the logistics element is probably about 50% of take up. And that will probably continue. But in terms of the size range that we're seeing most activity in, it's probably the small and mid box market. Certainly focusing on Leeds, we've had a couple of schemes that are new developments that have completed in November last year, so 2023, and we're almost 6 months from practical completion, and on one of them being Velocity Point, which is a 9-unit scheme. Five of the units there are let, including the largest one, which is 108,000 square feet. And we've got the remaining three under offer and one that's still available. So I think that really shows the positivity in the market and within that small to sort of mid-box market.
Sure. Okay. You kind of mentioned manufacturing a little minute ago as an important kind of element for the future. How big is it at the moment? I mean, how big a proportion would you say of the deals you do are accounted for by manufacturing?
So it's quite difficult to pinpoint exactly, because a lot of the small to mid box manufacturers will probably do an element of distribution themselves as well. But again, if you look at the UK trend, manufacturing take up is around sort of 25%. So it is a significant part of the industrial and logistics market.
Okay. And how about high tech advanced manufacturing? I mean, is that kind of a big deal in West Yorkshire? And who were the noteworthy occupiers on that regard?
So I wouldn't say it's particularly home for sort of high tech advanced manufacturing. There aren't necessarily clusters of businesses within the West Yorkshire market, but more so on the fringes. So for example, Nissan in Sunderland, Rolls-Royce in Rotherham, and you tend to find that once a business of that size move to a location, other smaller businesses follow to aid and support the larger manufacturers.
Sure. Okay. And you've also mentioned kind of a bit of a shortage of stock in certain sizes. What does the supply pipeline look like for the type of units that you're going to need?
So the pipeline is really limited, unfortunately, in West Yorkshire at the moment. And frustratingly, land is also quite scarce. So once the current supply has been absorbed, it really is important that we try and replace that stock. I think generally all sizes are undersupplied at the moment. If we are talking about West Yorkshire alone, obviously I touched on South Yorkshire earlier, having that slight oversupply. So I think it is key to identify sites and ensure that developers are putting a spade in the ground on all size ranges.
Sure. Okay. I mean, what do you put kind of potential shortages down to? Is it planning departments being slow or quite negative in their decisions? Or is it more a case of developers not having access to funds?
I think it's a combination. So unfortunately, planners are relatively slow and you do gauge the frustration from developers. I think there is a lack of allocated land. And certainly on some sites that are ready to be kick-started, interest rates and build costs have certainly had an effect on those sort of being paused.
Sure. Okay. And just also, a lot of the kind of talk about the office market at the moment is on how landlords are kind of having to do much more to attract occupiers back into the office. But are industrial landlords having to do a similar thing, not necessarily because of COVID, just because of, you know, employment rates are very high at the moment and it's kind of much harder to attract staff. Are staff expecting more in the way of facilities?
I think a lot of businesses are focusing on providing more facilities for their staff, but ultimately industrial and logistics is led by location, whether it needs to be situated on the motorway, and you do want to reach out to a skilled workforce. But some of the larger occupiers will only look for new buildings because they want to tick those ESG sort of internal green credentials, which will provide staff with a nicer place to work. And you might have recreational grounds and other facilities on site. But I mean, my view is ultimately if you've got a job offer in a brand new building, and that ticks all those boxes, provides excellent facilities, and you've got a job offer in a second-hand tertiary property with perhaps not those facilities, but that tertiary building the business is offering you £10,000 more, then I think I know which option you would take. Well, certainly I'd take the extra £10,000 anyway.
Okay, James, if we can turn to you for offices. You were on Radius the top office agent for 2023 across the whole UK, transacting a fair amount more deals than anyone else. How did you do it and what did you feel you got right?
I think, one of the reasons definitely is advising landlords to create the right product. So, for example, offering fully fitted spaces becoming more popular, and did a couple of lettings at a place called the Elbow Rooms, fully fitted, last year. So there's a market for smaller stuff and fully fitted, but I wouldn't be sort of advising or advocating fully fitting a suite or a building where it's got really large floor plates, and, you know, fully fitted isn't really a market for that sort of size in Leeds just yet. So that's an example, and yeah, definitely advising landlords to create the right thing that's going to obviously let as efficiently as possible, really. And I think being able to offer flexibility in terms of lease terms, really, you know, that's definitely something you know, that we should always be open to. There's definitely more flexibility now off the back of COVID, so yeah, just being open to that really is definitely important, and obviously persistence as well. That's always really important, you know, following a deal all the way through until you get the completion email from the solicitor. That's very, very important, making sure nothing falls out of bed.
Okay. Do you feel most office occupiers have got to a stage where they can say with a certain amount of confidence what they want from an office in terms of how they're going to use it and how much space they'll need, so that they're now much more confident to, you know, sign up than they were a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think it has worked itself out quite a bit, really. Occupiers do seem more certain. Sort of flexible working policies seem like they're more settled within companies, and sort of seeing managing directors CEOs encouraging staff back into the office, really. I think flexible working is here to stay, but the fact of the matter is it will be majorly in the office and there'll be that flexibility. But realistically, I think people will take a very similar amount of space to what they did do previously, because the days that people actually come into the office are usually quite similar. So, you know, occupiers need that similar amount of square footage. Then I guess in terms of lease terms, 3-year term certain is probably the most common lease length that I do. But at the same time, you've got bigger occupiers who will commit to a 5 or a 10 year lease, especially if they're, you know, spending quite a lot of money on fitting out an office suite and making it a really attractive proposition for employees to come into and work in.
Okay. In which ways are offices that you're letting now different to, say, the pre-pandemic days? I don't know. I mean, for example, I'm finding meeting rooms are very much more in demand.
I think there's definitely more flexibility. I don't really have much experience at all previous to COVID, but we're seeing more inclusive fitted deals now, just from speaking to my colleagues, than what it used to be before COVID. So that's a big change that I can sort of, yeah, think of at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like these changes in the way people use offices would have happened anyway, or did it need a pandemic to kind of force occupiers to accept that actually flexible working is a thing that works?
Yeah, I think people were, or it's sped up the change really for people to use technology like Zoom and Teams. And there was that sort of initial period after COVID where a lot of employees or employers thought that it's possible to actually work at home 5 days a week. I think now people come to the realization, you know, realistically, people need to come in and be able to collaborate with the colleagues, really. And also from our perspective at Carter Towler, you know, clients really like us being in the office and being able to collaborate with the industrial team on requirements that might be out. You know, there's sometimes grey areas where there's that opportunity to do it. So us all being in the office, sat next to each other, is really good.
Cool. OK. And now, how big a game changer was it when Channel 4 moved to Leeds? I mean, did that kind of act as a big signal that Leeds is open as a centre for the creative and media sectors? And if so, how different is the office mix now?
I think Channel 4 definitely was a big step for Leeds. I think we can definitely do more to encourage more of that type of inward investment and encourage inward investment, really. But definitely in terms of creative and media sectors, you've got sort of towards, well, south of the station and sort of towards the South Bank area of Leeds. That is becoming more and more of a hub, really, for those type of creative media companies, because you've got so many characterful buildings down there. You know, it's a great place to work for, you know, a lot of occupiers.
OK. Now, over the last 10 years, I guess, Leeds's office offering has changed almost beyond recognition. I mean, I remember I went on a little site visit in, must have been 2008 or 9, and Wellington Place had been just, I think they'd built one building and just put on hold for a long, long time. But that whole part of town looks massively different now. But is there enough stock going forward? And which are the schemes that are coming to market that you're excited about?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got Wellington Place now, which is, I mean, there is 8 and 9, which is going to come through, but that's not going to be until sort of 2026. So other than that now, really, you've got Air Park, and that's doing really well. I know there's quite a bit of space under offer there at the moment. And, you know, after that, you haven't really got anything in the immediate pipeline. So that, I think, it's going to push landlords to be doing some really good jobs on secondhand stock. So you've got 12 King Street, for example, where they've done a really good job there and created a really good product, as well as One East Parades. Those are two examples of secondhand buildings that have been substantially refurbished and getting some really good rents, but also creating that environment in the building with lots of amenity, you know, really strong ESG credentials, and it just means that staff want to come in, occupiers want to take space. So that's a really good couple of examples of, in the meantime, how we can utilise these second-hand buildings and make them really great.
Sure. Okay. On the ESG theme then, for both offices and industrial, how important is that? Occupiers asking for it, are developers developing it, and are lenders financing deals if those credentials aren't there?
I think it's becoming increasingly important, obviously, for occupiers to meet the sustainability objectives. We've seen even in recent times a couple of gas-free requirements come out recently. So landlords have got to be aware of that and aware that, you know, to satisfy corporate objectives, a lot of these businesses now, need certain things to be ticked from a sustainability point of view.
Okay, how about industrial?
So we were involved with a building at OP65 in Gilderstone that was a 65,000 square foot warehouse that our client developed out last year, and we let it to a local occupier at a great rent, to £875 per square foot at the time. But the developer's key there was to provide a showcase building for their portfolio. So that included additional sort of enhanced specification that included air source heat pumps, battery storage. And I think the difficulty from our perspective is how we actually rentalize that additional enhanced specification, because we can obviously tell an occupier that it's going to save them money, but how do we value that additional sort of enhanced spec? So it's quite difficult, and I think we are learning as an industry on sort of each development that comes through. But a number of clients are also looking to enhance secondhand accommodation as well. So we've seen existing 1980s buildings have new roofs installed and with PV on as well. So it's great to see that investors are prepared to invest, and most of them are on board with those ESG credentials as well.
Okay. I mean, do you kind of sell ESG to potential occupiers as, you know, this is going to save the polar bears, or as something that's actually going to save the money, especially given how high energy costs are right now?
I think it'd be more so on the money side of things. I mean, internally, they'll have their own sustainability and green credentials, which will probably cover off saving the polar bears and whatnot. But at the end of the day, they do have a business to run, and the numbers have to work.
Cool. Okay. Now, question I always ask. Both of you, if you had a magic wand, what would you use it for that would really help out your markets at the moment?
For me, I've sort of spoke about it earlier, but a return of the out-of-town market, really, for that to pick up again and sort of begin to perform how it performed immediately after COVID. That would be brilliant to have that on top of the city centre stuff that's going on. And then also investment funding. You've got some great buildings to buy, and as a result, you can have some really great products created as a result.
Cool. Okay.
From the industrial perspective, I think it would be great to have an endless supply of available consented land, speed up the planning process, which we briefly touched on earlier, and also for build costs to come down. I think that's been a frustration for a lot of developers. And lastly, which James has touched on as well, is the interest rates to reduce. Over recent years, we've seen some forward funding, which unfortunately has sort of come to a halt. So it would be great to have some forward funding opportunities as well, but you need the other points on the list before that, before we can build some more buildings.
Indeed. Okay. Now we need to briefly talk Leeds United as well. Because you guys are right in the mix for promotion, although it's got incredibly tight. How much of a difference does it make when you've got a Premier League team in the city, both in terms of, you know, profile and just general mood?
Yeah, I'll definitely leave this one to James as the keen Leeds United fan.
Yeah, I think it just means that you're on the map, aren't you, really? And you're within those 20 teams in the Premier League, which the Premier League as a brand is growing more and more. So Leeds, the great city that it sort of already is, you know, another sort of bow, I guess, is to be one of those 20 teams. Because once we are in the Premier League, you know, we're a massive city and a one club city as well. So, that's really important. And also, I guess you can look at clubs like Man City, where, you know, them having recent success, the regeneration around the area where the stadium is, for example, you know, that's had a really good impact on the city. So, yeah, definitely from a regeneration and investment point of view as well, it's really important.
I think it puts Leeds on the map more so than what it already is, and ultimately it'll bring people to the city.
Yeah, well, that's important as well. You know, people or fans coming to Leeds and spending the money in shops and bars and restaurants, and that has a really positive knock-on effect as well.
Okay, well, fingers crossed. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, now, Carter Towler, you guys have been on Radius since it began. How helpful do you find it in terms of, you know, being able to showcase how well you're doing and also kind of the data it provides you?
So, yeah, we find it really helpful. It's a really useful platform. We also have the property link side of it as well, where you can display our property listings, which is really beneficial. We find we generate a lot of inquiries from that. Radius is great for collating data. It's obviously an excellent platform that we share our deals with. And it's a reputable business that allows us to portray our success sort of through to our clients. So I think that's really important. And then in terms of the wider business at Carter Towler, our landlord and tenant teams use it as well as the valuation to pull together the comparable data that's required on a day-to-day basis. And we all work sort of really closely on that
front. Yeah. And also, it's great getting the acknowledgement like we did last year in terms of the deals and, you know, trophies that we got as a result that are nicely in our trophy cabinet now, which is nice to look at. So that's another great thing as well, just getting the acknowledgement for all the hard work every year.
Good stuff.
It's getting difficult to keep it clean now.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Just a final one then, actually, because obviously you've been topping the Radius rankings. But before Radius was a thing, we used to have most active agent competitions. And you guys, I think since Records began about 20 years before Radius, Carter Towler would always win that for Western and North Yorkshire, I think it was. How, as a company, do you kind of maintain that level of drive and hunger to get deals over the line?
Yeah, I think we did sweep the floor for quite a few years consecutively. Yeah. I think as a business, I mean, we've been established and have had presence in the market for over 75 years. And like I said earlier, we very much focus on our sort of local specialism from an agency perspective. We do have a really large management team as well, who look after properties for a number of clients all over the country. But I think the key is providing friendly, trustworthy, and really hardworking, honest people to sort of front and forth and face our clients and tenants. So I think it comes down to being that sort of leading independent business that has been around for such a long time. We're really well known in the local market.
Yeah, and because we've got really strong teams, like for example in agency, got really strong office team, industrial team and retail team, that sort of friendly competition really helps as well, and just means you can make sure you stay on top of your game all the time.
Excellent. Okay, well, on that positive note, I think we'll bring things to a close. Thank you both very much for your time. That was great.
Thanks for having us. It's great chatting.